Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy new year. And I think for once the choir has outnumbered the congregation. Oh, it's not a good way to start out the year. So what are we still 10-8? Are we 10-8 now? 10-9. Are now you counting Juana that's out there?
Okay. I counted
Juana,
only
one. So maybe by the time I finish my announcements, the congregation will outnumber the choir. The choir is very faithful. So anyways, it's good to see you today. It's good to have you here. As you can hear, I'm still having some issues with my voice and sinuses, but never left me totally. It is the first Sunday in the new year. It is a communion Sunday. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together in a little while at the end of the service, and it's good to have you here. And you will note on the inside back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and yes, the holidays are over, and boards and committees are beginning to resume their meeting and Bible study, and we're getting ready for our annual meeting, so we're beginning to work on budgets and all that good stuff. So you'll want to just call your attention to those boards and committees that are scheduled to meet this week, and Bible study is scheduled to meet on Tuesday. I'll make a final decision tomorrow if I hear from more folks whether they're coming or not coming, what the weather is tomorrow night, but I do plan to meet. You may have noticed a few of the decorations around that we are beginning to receive gifts to one of our four annual offerings, the Retired Ministers and Missionaries offering, sometimes called the M&M offering, and our goal is $500, and so we see some of the props that are out, and we'll be hearing more about that during the month. Also, when I got back, there was a card addressed to me and the congregation from Beverly DeWolf Creasy. And how lovely to get your card. So many family, familiar names to bring back wonderful memories of growing up in the church. I can't thank you enough for thinking of me, Beverly. So Marilyn had mentioned that she had heard from Beverly, and Beverly had had a serious accident back, I think, in the summer, and was still having some treatments and surgeries as a result of that. And we sent a thinking of you card at the holiday time, and so Beverly was just responding to that. It's good to hear from Beverly that she's able to be, you know, to hear that, hear from us and respond that way. Also, the American Baptist Women of Massachusetts will be having their spiritual retreat on March 2nd and March 3rd. Their Bible study leader is the Reverend June R. Cooper, who is the executive director of City Mission. And that is going to be at Grattanwood, I believe, in the Prescott Lodge, the newly built Prescott Lodge. And so there are some spaces available. Marilyn is planning to attend. If you'd like more information, speak to her. I think some information went out in an email, but we'll have more information. There is a registration form here as well. And, you know, we think March is so far away. It's not that far away, folks. It sounds like it's a long ways away. But just think how much warmer it may be by March 2nd and 3rd, too. You know, spring will be rapidly approaching. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection 204 for a unison call to worship. I'm running out of responses, so I thought we'd do something in unison today. And I think you did that same thing last week. I think I selected that. 204, verses from the prophet Isaiah, very familiar words perhaps, and let us read together from God's holy word. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Your God will be your glory, and your days of sorrow will end. Oh, we outnumber the choir now. Two more people outnumber them. We whipped off the choir total. So our opening hymn is Christ is the World's Light, number 150. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3. And if you're able, we invite you to stand as we sing together.
Christ is the world.
Let's pray together. O God, we come before you as a people gathered to behold Jesus Christ, a light dawn that cannot be extinguished. In this new year, we offer special thanks for this community of faith and your faithful presence. Help us to see more clearly your glorious light, that we will open our hearts to your reign on earth and dedicate our lives to your service. We ask this in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. At this time, we have an opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. I know that I heard the choir talking about Delphine, that he's been there in two Sundays, so wonder how Delphine is doing. I heard from Dave and Dottie Ladd yesterday that both of them are ill, and Dave's been ill for about a week now, and Dottie thinks she's coming down with what he has. So. We want to keep them in prayer. We also want to keep Claire Stevens in prayer. Claire's been in the hospital since, I believe it was Monday she went in, with a couple serious infections. Mm. As of, let's see, when was the last time? Wednesday night, I think, was the last time I talked to the family. I tried to reach somebody yesterday, I didn't get through. Claire was not very good as of Wednesday night. Melrose Wakefield. But I know that Lana spoke to Claire. I guess Claire called her on Thursday or Friday. And so Claire was obviously doing better from what I heard as of Wednesday. So, and I, as I said, I was planning to get there today. My car didn't start this morning, so depending on what happens with the car this afternoon, I may not get there till tomorrow. But I want to keep Claire in prayer. And also others, obviously, who are not here today, whether illness, weather, or we'll start, whatever the reason, we just want to keep them in prayer as well. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning you'd like to share with the church family? Cindy?
Doreen has a birthday this week.
That is a celebration.
She forgot about it.
Well, sometimes you need to get to that point. Okay. So, that is so. Marilyn has
a... I just wanted an update on, give you an update on Judy Perry. She's been transferred to a rehab in Lexington. And they feel that they can help her, so we'll see what happens.
We'll keep Alan in prayer. I mean, we'll keep Judy in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request?
No. Prayers for Alan?
No. All right. So then why don't we go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together.
God is good to come to your house this day to worship you. And Lord, while we may be feeling ourselves as being few in number, we know that you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are there in spirit with us. We thank you for being present with us today in this time of worship. Lord, we pray that you will bless us by having been here today, that we have been strengthened and renewed to face another week in this new year. But Lord, we pray for those that are not here today, and just pray that you would watch over them for whatever reason. We pray especially for those who are ill. Some are at home trying to recuperate from illnesses or injuries. Others are hospitalized, and others are undergoing treatment in an institution. Lord, we just lift them all up to you and pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. We pray for our boards and committees of this church, oh God, as they begin to meet this month and prepare for the annual meeting and work on budgets and projections. And Lord, we just pray for your guidance in these coming days and weeks as we make these preparations and these plans, that all that we may do, that they be done according to your will for this congregation and for us. Lord, we are mindful of our retired ministers and missionaries who have served our American Baptist Church family so faithfully over the years. And as we receive an offering this month to say thank you to them, we say that in our prayers today. We thank you for calling them into ministry and for their ministry, not only among us locally, but also regionally and other churches and in other areas and in the mission field as well, oh God. We just pray that they may sense our gratitude and the gratitude of those whom they have ministered to over the generations. Lord, we just thank you now for the opportunity of worshiping you this day. And we pray that your spirit will continue to be with us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This being the first Sunday of the month, we do receive two different offerings. And the first offering that we're about to receive is our regular morning offering that supports the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. And the ushers will receive your tithes and gifts at this time.
Tree. In the womb, to tell him the promise, but our Father.
pray together. Lord, we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us, that that this congregation may be a beacon, a light to the world, sharing Jesus' love with others. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you not to put your hymnal away, but to turn to selection 201, which we'll read responsively as our scripture today. Basically, we've already sung the story that we're going to read from scripture now. The First Noel is one of my favorite carols, but it was for many years before I realized, wait a minute, the star isn't mentioned in the shepherd's story. But so the author of the writer of the carol sort of just put them together and used the star as the linking between the story of the shepherds and the story of the wise men. So we're going to be reading mostly from Matthew chapter 2, and then the compilers of the responsive reading tacked on a little bit at the end of Luke as well at the end. But let's read from God's holy word as put together in selection number 201, the hymnal. As Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him.
When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born.
"In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written."
"But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel."
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said,
"Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him."
After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him.
Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh.
"My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people.
A light of revelation to the Gentiles and your glory to your people Israel."
Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read together these familiar words for many of us, the story of the Magi and their search for the child, Lord, we pray that we too may be searching for Jesus today, and we pray that we may have a star or individuals that may help to guide us in our journey. And we pray that we may be those guides for others that may be searching for Jesus as well, that your light may spread throughout the land. We ask this in his name. Amen. For a moment, just what images come to mind when you think of the Magi, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel? Having sat through enough Christmas plays, it may be difficult for some of us to banish the image of children wearing bathrobes and gold paper crowns, trying to look wise and regal. But for others, the heroes of this passage may bring to mind men in long flowing robes and long beards wearing turbans on their head. Every year, most of us receive at least one Christmas card with this kind of picture on the cover. And I would challenge you sometime to review your Christmas cards and to see how many, what large percentage depict the story of the wise men. They're always in one of two, almost always in one of two poses, either kneeling at Jesus' feet or crib, or traveling across the desert on camels. In nativity sets, which we have one here still, and they rub elbows with the shepherds that are recorded in Luke's gospel. Matthew has the wise men. Luke has the shepherds. They don't meet each other in the Bible. It's only through church history that we've sort of melded the story. We don't really know these Magi very well, though. Scholars will tell us that they were not kings. There were not necessarily three of them, and they did not come on the night of Jesus' birth. So if that blows you away, I'm sorry. But whether there were two, three, or 20 of them, and even if they did not quite make it in time to boil the water for Jesus' birth, they do play a significant role in the gospel message. And one of the most informative things about them is that they were not Jewish. They were Gentiles, which means anyone who was not Jewish. Yesterday was the day on the Christian calendar known as Epiphany. So technically we're past Epiphany. We're past the 12 days of Christmas. And the word Epiphany refers to the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Today's scripture is about the opening of God's good news to the entire world, no matter who we are, where we come from, what we look like, and what religion we are. And these Magi, these outsiders, represent this, that Jesus came to save all people, not just a select few. And these Magi had a foreign belief system, one that the Old Testament tried to steer the people of Israel and Judah away from, for they were astrologers. And for that reason, it seems even stranger that the gospel writer Matthew would tell us about these men who used their astrology to find Jesus. Because certainly Matthew is not endorsing astrology. The New Testament warns against the use of astrology as well, for trying to make one's decisions based on their horoscope reading is not considered okay, according to the Bible. We are called to face the future trusting in God, not trying to predict what will happen on any given day. In any case, God meets us where we are. God seeks us out no matter what kind of circumstances we are in. And God can use anything to get our attention. We can make our initial steps toward Jesus in any number of ways, and God can draw us to Jesus from wherever we are and by whatever path we follow. Whoever these wise men were, they show us that we can never predict how God will bring us to Jesus. These Magi teach us not only in the strange way they came to Jesus, but also in the strange way that they leave. And unfortunately, part of our scripture that we read today did not include that verse or two. For King Herod lurks behind this scene, and he's mentioned in what we read today. Herod can't see the good news behind the birth of Jesus because he seethes with jealousy over Jesus as a threat to his power. So he makes the very foolish and dangerous decision to try to hold back what God intends. Do we ever try to hold back what God intends? Do we ever try and say, oh, no, no, not me, not now. No, somebody else. How often do we say no to God's plans for our lives? How many times do we find ourselves sidetracked because we make the conscious decision not to follow God's plan for our life? Herod wants to stand in God's way. So with a fake smile on his face and treachery in his heart, he invites the Magi in for a talk. Claiming that he wants to go and honor Jesus, Herod asks the Magi to let him know where Jesus is when they find him. It's interesting the way Matthew contrasts the Magi and King Herod's Bible scholars. We are told that when King Herod heard about the newborn king of the Jews, he gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophets wrote. The religious leaders, who had devoted their lives to studying the law of the and the prophets, knew where their Savior was to be born. But they showed no interest in checking things out for themselves. They seemed unable or uninterested in putting their knowledge into action. They lived in the center of power. They didn't seem to care what was happening on the margins. They had the scriptures in their hands, but they missed the Messiah's birth. Do we ever hold the truth in our hands and yet miss the living Lord? Their behavior of those scholars, those religious leaders, their behavior, their attitudes, and their allegiances seem to be more radically different than those of the foreign Gentile magi, those sinful astrologers, when you compare the two. Herod and his minions represent all those who claim to have a noble purpose, but who act out of self-interest and greed. They stand in for all of us who clutch at power without regard for who might be hurt in the process. Historically, when Herod was frightened, as he was when he heard about the newborn king of the Jews, people died. Nervous and insecure, Herod had ordered the killing of his brother-in-law, his uncle, and his wife. And after that royal bloodshed, Herod still did not feel safe, so he went on to execute his mother-in-law, a son, and then two more sons. And of course, we may be familiar with the killing of the innocents as recorded in Matthew chapter 2, 16 through 18, which is just after the passage that we read today. In seeking to get rid of Jesus, Herod sent soldiers to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger. Fear, self-interest, and hanging on to power. Look at the results. Horrible evilness. But of course, Herod's plan would have worked, except for God. Speaking to the Magi in a way they could understand through a dream, God points them in a different path, away from Herod. The Magi have taught us something by the way they arrived, and now they teach us by the way that they leave. They went back to their own country by another route. Could it be that the gospel writer Matthew is offering us a hint about life for those who met Jesus? Nothing is ever the same after we meet Jesus, and we don't take the same road any longer after our encounter. Instead, we unfold a new map and discover a new way. When we stand up after kneeling before Jesus, we are called to go on another road. Worshiping Jesus, not just on Sundays, but at all times, provides us with the strength and the motivation to fight back against greed, oppression, and injustice. If we kneel before Jesus, we rise ready to go to take another road from the evil of the world. Nothing is the same ever again. So we have some new things to think about when we see the Magi in the nativity scenes and on Christmas cards each year. They remind us that God welcomes us wherever we might have started out. And they show us that the call of those who worship Jesus is to resist evil. As we begin a new year, let us kneel before Christ and pledge ourselves to following his road, his way, his route, for our sake and for the sake of the world. For the way of Christ is the only road that is going somewhere. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that we may take lessons from these Magi. Just as the shepherds were unexpected recipients of the message of Jesus' birth, so too were these Magi, the unexpected, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, and yet they responded and came to worship him. Lord, we pray that in our worship that we may not only kneel down before Christ, but that we may also stand before him. We may turn around and go from our time of worship to a time of service. We pray that we will never be the same by having encountered Christ in our lives. We pray, oh God, that change may take place in other people's lives as they encounter us, that we may be change agents for the good in their lives as well, that they may come to know Christ and may not only worship him, love him, but also serve him. Lord, help us to emulate the Magi in our search for Christ, in our worship of him, and in our service to you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is number 202, We Three Kings. We'll be singing verse 1, and then later during communion, we'll be singing two other verses as we serve communion. As I mentioned earlier, that on the first Sunday of each month, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we also receive two different offerings. And the second offering that we're about to receive is our communion offering, that the deacons use these funds to fund special projects, things that are outside of our regular budgeting processes. Sometimes it's a mission project, sometimes it's a family or an individual that's in need, many different ways. And sometimes it's something to support the church body itself as well, many different things. So at this time, the deacons will receive your gifts to the communion offering. Thank you. invite you to turn in the bulletin now to page 3 of, as we will read in unison our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Well, our scripture passage today focused on the early beginning of Jesus' life. But as we come to the table, we're reminding and reflecting on the end of Jesus' earthly life. And as we remember that, you know, it's so important that when we come and share the elements that Christ came for all, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, no matter what we, you know, where we grew up, what we look like, that Christ came for all. As the host, Jesus invites all to his table, all believers to his table. He asks us, do you believe that I came to earth and lived among you and ministered among you, ultimately dying and paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, and now in heaven preparing a place for you for all eternity? If we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, Jesus has come. Eat and drink with me. We've not earned a seat at Jesus' table. It's only through his grace and mercy that we are invited to come. So in these moments, I invite us now to pray silently and confess our sins to Christ and ask for his forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do ask that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us and purify us and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. On that last night of Jesus' earthly life, he took bread from the table, which they were celebrating the Passover meal, celebrating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it and giving thanks to it, Jesus broke it, saying, this bread represents my body that's broken for each one of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Thank you. celebrate on Christmas, and the little child who the Magi journeyed to worship became a man and ministered among us and allowed his body to be broken. Broken bread, broken body, broken so that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As the meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God for the cup, he began passing it among his disciples and encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant or a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Covenant, a new agreement between humans and God, not certain nationalities, but all creation, all humanity, a new relationship, so that we may have new life, and we may have it abundantly. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed, so that we might have life and have it in all the best terms and have it forever. Lord, help us to live our lives demonstrating our gratitude for that gift and for that sacrifice. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn that night and then went out. And our closing hymn is "Ask with Gladness, Men of Old," number 200. We sing verses 1 and 4.
Just for
of the Magi set us in motion on a quest of God's ever newborn Son. May their gifts inspire in us a spirit of giving and self-giving all the days of our lives. May our journeys be lit like theirs by a special star to keep us going when we are weary and to assure us that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be there for us at the end of the road. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.